I didn't know this many people would come out to hear me preach, but I'm so glad you did. I'm thankful you're here today. And I'm glad the Lord's here.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's not talk about what we've done, because we've done very little. Let's talk about what Jesus has done. Because He's the one that's really done all the things that need to be done. And anything that's been done, it's because Jesus did it. And He said, well, how do you do it? I didn't do it. The Lord did it. And He gets all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I want to hear you say amen, Alice. All right. Thank you. And I want to hear Mabel say amen. All right. Let's stand together and look into the Word of God, because I only have a few minutes. And we want to receive something from the Lord. Now, I'm a note preacher, and, you know, the thing is that I can quit when I get to the end of my notes. So, Lord, nudge me when I'm sitting up. Fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff. 15th chapter of the book of John, and verse 9 through 13. You see, sometimes preachers need to preach on things that will benefit them, that will help them. And in helping themselves and leading. Now, let me say this before I begin, or as I begin. I know a message doesn't have to be eternal to be immortal. And I know that you can only your head can only retain what your seat can handle. So I understand that. I know all about that. And we have no padded pews here. But the Holy Ghost is here, and God wants to talk to us.
Yes, He does.
And Jesus used a method of teaching like no other. Never a man spake like this man. And no one ever taught like Him. No one has ever matched Him in eloquence or in ability or in any of those things. So we're not going to try. But we are going to say that Jesus modeled everything that He taught. He modeled it. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Would everyone say that? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Everyone said, that I might be full of joy. That you love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you. All right. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Yes. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Yes. These things I command you, that you love one another.
Amen.
Verse 35 of the 13th chapter of the book of John says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you have love one to another.
If you have love one to another.
All right, you may be seated. We're going to pray that God talks to us about the force and the power of God's love.
Praise the Lord.
Now notice how many times the Lord talked about this that we call the 11th commandment. Now let me say some things that I believe that I think will revolutionize any church, any person, any individual. We have to see people as wanting to be obedient to Jesus Christ. In other words, in my heart and mind and life, I have to visualize that you all want to live for God. I have to visualize my goals. Hello? A minister has to have visions and dreams to be able to convey to others. He needs to visualize his goals, and a goal needs to be specific. If you want people to love God, then you've got to show them how to love God and what love of God is all about. If you're not able to do that, if you're not able to do this, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So what you can see and what you can actually believe, you can allow the Lord to do. We must believe in our heart that God wants people to understand the Word of God. Now, if I can just use word boats that you understand, using words that fit into your ear gate, then the next thing I think the ministry is there isn't to put in obstacles in people's way of living for God, but to help them to do the will of God from the heart. Because I believe basically that people want to live for God. And I believe that people want to serve God. And I believe that people want this message. And I believe that people want to know what God wants them to be and do, and what God will do for them if they will do. They will open their heart to the Lord. So you have to be able to visualize. Vision is a language of the Holy Spirit. Now you remember Jesus said, I will build what? My church? Everyone said, He said He would build His church. He didn't say He'd build me a church. Jesus said, before there was one convert, before there was one person in the church, He looked over in the book of Revelation and He saw all the multiplied millions of people that were going to be in the church of the living God.
Yes, amen.
Jesus saw that because He was a man of vision. He believed that, and He acted upon that when He was the only one. He said, I will build my church. And I believe the Lord's still building His church. It's His church. Praise God. And it's always been His church, and it always will be His church. So He's responsible for that. That leaves me of the responsibility, doesn't it? Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the ministry give people opportunity to minister and to grow. Everybody wants to grow. If you don't believe it, you ought to go out here by the hamburger stand. Everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to grow. Isn't that right? Well, we're all going out we're all going to get in our cars and drive over to Guadalupe and have one of those steaks, aren't we? No? You never heard about the steakhouse in Guadalupe? Well, you must be new to this place around here. All right. But you see, the Lord didn't come into your life to make you miserable. Hello? Men, you've got to make people want to go to church. There has to be something in church for people to go to church for. That's right. I mean, you can't keep people coming to church for 30 years and listen to somebody preach unless there's something there when they get there. Hello? That's just the way it is. All right, so I have to believe that God wants the church to grow, and that God wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved. If WD can get out of the way. Yeah. The biggest problem God had building a church in Torrance was with me. It wasn't with the people. It was with me. If He can keep me right, everything else is all right. Right? I mean, if He can work with me and my friend, if I can build a church, of course anybody can build a building. Building a church is a little different than building a building. Anyone can build a building. I can say that. But it takes God to build a church. Because unless God builds the church, we labor in vain. Hello? Amen. I liked what Brother Grant was talking about, that using that textbook of the Bible. Man, that is great. You just get the people and give them a workbook and let them work out their own salvation prayer term. That's great. Boy, that tremendous. Let people solve their own problems. I mean, that's what you've got to do. Just let people solve their own problems. Because unless they solve it, I don't care how many psychiatrists you go to, they cannot solve your problem if you're not going to work on it. A lot of trouble with a lot of people is the reason their brain and their mind is all messed up is because they go around giving everybody a piece of their mind. And so there's not much left. And we use very little. Especially when we stand up to speak. I mean, you know, the mind functions perfectly while we're sitting back there, man. We can know every scripture and then we get up here. And a lot of times it isn't that easy. But if God can speak through us, and if we believe, everyone wants to grow, everyone wants to believe this. You know, the salesman that goes around saying, everybody wants this product, everybody loves this product, everybody's going to want this. Boy, this is great. This vacuum cleaner is so great. If you don't have the rugs nailed down, it's going to suck the rugs right off the floor. You've got to be sold on your product. If you're not sold on your product, you're not going to be able to sell it.
Right.
Now, the next thing is the commitment to excellence. And I believe what Brother Grant said about paying off, learning how to give, giving to get. Because unless you give, you can't get. Because the farmer that just keeps everything, he doesn't have anything to plant. And so he that sows sparingly reaps sparingly. And he that plants abundantly is going to reap abundantly unless there's a drought. Hello? So we, at First Church, have sowed beside all waters. I tell you, the people that's in trouble, the people that said, well, we can't afford it, so we close it up. It's like the man, he was making the best hamburgers in town. He was selling hamburgers. People were stacked up four deep in his hamburger stand. And he was going to buy another oven, another stove, another thing to cook more of them, open and expand the place. And his son came from college, and his son says, don't you know we're in a recession? Things are tough out there and bad. And so sure enough, he didn't buy the extra griddle, and he didn't do that. And he shrunk the business down, and sure enough, business dropped off. You see, if you don't give, God doesn't have anything as seed to grow something that you want to see grow. If you don't give God yourself, your best, the best that you can give, that's why we have a commitment to excellence.
Praise the Lord.
And I don't know where... You see, if you don't aim at something, you're not going to hit anything. Unless you're like the village idiot. A man walked into town, and there was all these bullseyes all over town. And they said, right in the middle, there was a hole right in the middle of every bullseye in this town. And they said, well, who did that? And they said, it was the village idiot. He said, what do you mean? He said, he shoots first and then draws the bullseye next. Reminds a lot of the way we work sometimes. But God said... The church life should equip people to manifest the Holy Spirit as Jesus described its function. When was the last time you went to church and felt that somebody loved you? When was the last time you went to church and made somebody feel that you loved them? When was the last time you went to church and felt like the brethren accepted you? When was the last time that you looked and tried to find someone that would believe in you? You see, Jesus said that He loved us. And I said to Jesus, because you love me, I have found new joys that were not mine before. New stars have lighted up my sky with glories growing more and more. Because you love me, Jesus, I can rise to heights of fame and realms of power. Because you love me, I can choose to look through your dear eyes and see beyond the beauty of the now, far onward to eternity. Because you love me, I can wait with perfect patience, well possessed. Because you love me, all my life is circled with unquestioned rest. Yes, even life and even death is all in question and all blessed because Jesus loves me. How many of you believe that Jesus loves you? Would you just raise your hand and praise Him right now? Do you believe He loves you? Do you believe He died for the world? Do you believe He wants to see a revival? Do you believe He wants to see people saved? Do you believe He wants to shed His blood for the world? Do you believe He wants to reach by His Spirit? I can't understand it. When Philip could preach to somebody, get him baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and then let him go on his way rejoicing, surely he had to put him in a discipleship class somewhere. I wonder if we have the same Holy Ghost that they had when Philip baptized the man in the chariot and told him the truth, baptized him in Jesus' name. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and Philip was carried away to another city. I don't know who followed up on the man. Kept him living for God. I don't know who gave him all the rules and regulations. Hello? Man, it's wonderful what the Holy Ghost can do if we'll let the Holy Ghost do it. But a lot of times we think that we've got to get in there and we've got to show what the Holy Ghost is supposed to do. No, the Holy Ghost can do it. Hello? Doesn't the Bible say the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? Everybody? The love of Romans 5 and 5, is that in your Bible? Did you commit that to memory? Huh? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. My friend, we think we've got to be peeking in people's windows. Are you living for God? My friend, God didn't call me to be a detective. God called me to preach without fear and favor and to love people and to try to help them solve their problems and try to open the book, and when the book of the book, then let them live for God. Say, it's yours, live for God. Take this and live for God. Hello? You see, a commitment of excellence produces confidence in the ministry. The people know that I am giving so much that they want to give, and they don't want me to outgive them, and so they know. And my friend, I am on trial every day of my ministerial life. Every day I am on trial. Not that I'm tried by you, but God has His eye on me, and I belong to God. And so I've got to... I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Amen. And so, in my personal life, spiritually, I get up in the morning and I pray in the prayer meetings. Because I just don't tell people, well, let's have a prayer meeting, and then I don't show up. I go to the prayer meeting. And then when it's time to give, we give. Hello? And that's how we get other people to do it. And then when we say, we want everybody to get up and hug one another... Oh, you mean you people hug one another in church? Yeah, you don't know what you're missing. You mean you don't have enough Holy Ghost that you can't hug somebody? Huh? What's the matter? Well, we might fall into immorality. No, not if it's the real Holy Ghost. The thing we're afraid of is that we're afraid to really let the Holy Ghost really work and operate and do what the Holy Ghost wants to do, which is shed the love of God abroad and show people when they come in. Friend, you're loved. I don't care if they loved you anywhere else, but we love you. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what your clothes smell like. I don't care how bad it was where you came from. When you get in here, you're going to find some people that really love you. And if we've got to give them groceries, then give them groceries. If we've got to give them money, then give them money. If we've got to find them a job, then find them a job. But love them. Because people will respond to love.
Amen. They will.
thou shalt love thy neighbor. How many knew that was in your Bible? Love thy neighbor as thyself. We're to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and the neighbor as yourself. No carved or ivory or gold can be an expression of God. The morning light is but a golden fringe of His garment. His voice was a thunder. His look lightning. All the mighty elements of nature were but parts of His ways. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God is truth. Mortal eye cannot behold Him. Universe cannot contain Him. He is seen riding upon the wings of the wind, walking the stormy seas. He's to be known by spirituality, by thought, by feeling, not by eyesight, but by thought, meditation, by the feelings that He brings into your heart and soul, by the cleansing that He brings into your heart and life. There's power in the Holy Ghost. But here Jesus, the unveiler of God's mighty attributes, draws back the veil from Jehovah and discloses the God of love. Biblical history of 6,000 years of dealing with mankind by God. The God of the Old Testament is love. A God who holds the future in His hands is a God of love. I want to tell you, if Satan can get you to believe that God doesn't love you, you will never stay saved. I don't care what kind of a church you're in. If you ever believe in your heart and life that God doesn't love you, you will not be saved and you won't stay saved. What God desires of mankind cannot be plainer. God so loved the fallen, sinful mankind that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I believe in getting all the education and I believe in emotion and I believe in being professional about things and socially I believe that people are social people, but people will have confidence in my interest in and care for them when I love them. I had our whole church stand and say they knew Sunday beyond the shadow of a doubt. They got up and read letters about they knew that I loved them. They knew that I was patient with them. They knew that I was kind with them. Almost to 100% of our church Sunday night got up and said, friend of mine, you have exemplified what we believe that Jesus was like. And I don't believe that, and I know I wasn't. But friend of mine, they think that I did, and so if I have them fooled, see, the way to build a church anywhere is to go and pour yourself into people. Pour yourself. Sister Gazowski has poured herself into San Francisco, and she has poured her abilities and everything into that city, and out of it has come a crop of revival and of people that are saved. And when I was up there ministering in San Francisco, I noticed that Saturday morning she still went down and she took the beginner class of orchestra and poured herself in. No wonder she can have 7 choirs. No wonder she can have all those things, because she has poured herself into. You will get out of a place just what you put into it. You will get out of a church service just what you put into it. You will get out of a city just what you put into it. Nothing more, nothing less. The more you give God to work with, the more He's going to use. The more you can do, the more you can sow, the more that you can bless, the more you can preach, pray, sing, or shout. I've gone into hospitals and seen miracles have happened in our ministry. You didn't see it on the page of any book or any paper or any one of our papers. There's been miracles. We had a girl with a TB in one kidney and her other kidney was taken out, and she was doomed. They said she was going to die, but she's alive today. She's not living for God. God worked a miracle in her life. I wish He would have saved her, but He didn't save her. I wish it could have been a beautiful story, like she came in, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized, Lord. But God did create a miracle. She's not going to be able to stand before God and say that we did not go and pray the prayer of faith, that God didn't touch her life, that she had opportunity to be saved. Every one of the people that attend our church have opportunity, because we minister without fear and favor. We try to preach the unadulterated Word of God, but we try to let people know God loves you. Because love is a fulfillment of the law. Isn't that right? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Can two lock together lest they be agreed? What constitutes right living? Reason, justice, conscience, worship, honesty, industry, good citizenship. The voice of God says, love God. Love is the pilot will steer the ship to the safe harbor avoiding rocks, through the voyage of life unwrecked. The law and the prophets are nothing without the motivating factor of the love of God. Paul said, though I understood all mysteries, and I could raise the dead, and I can work all kind of miracles, if I don't have a manifestation of the love of God working in my life, I am a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So we give, we grow, we go. Can you abhor that which is evil and still love the person love can? Jesus could be in the presence of a harlot and she could wash his feet with her hair, and the man across there could misunderstand. And Jesus said, he said, he must not be a prophet, because if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman this was. And Jesus said to him, when I came in here a guest into your house, you didn't show me any love. You didn't have one of your servants wash my feet. But this woman has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and dry it with her hair since the moment I came in. There were two men. One was forgiven a million, and one was forgiven $1.15. Which one loved the most? Well, I guess the one that was forgiven a million. You're right. This woman thinks she was forgiven a million. And that's what WD thinks. I think that I was forgiven a million. Maybe you only forgiven $1.15 worth. But friend of mine, I believe that I owe God the million that He forgave me. And so I've got to keep loving Him. And I've got to keep worshiping Him. And I've got to keep praising Him. And don't think because I'm serving God I'm immune to pain. But I'll tell you what love will do. I took a truck just a couple of weeks ago back east for my son. He had wrecked it. And it wasn't going to be long. It was too long to get it repaired. They were haggling over price between the insurance company and the garage. And so he took the small car back. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll pull your trailer back and I'll meet you somewhere in between. But I said, no, I don't want you to just go halfway. I'm going to go more than halfway. I'll meet you in Tulsa, or I'll meet you in Oklahoma City, and I'll pull the trailer across. Well, I didn't know what I was getting into when I did that, but I still did it because one of the gas tanks had quit functioning, and we thought both of them were working, and so we were out there just outside of one of the little towns in Arizona when the gas quit running. I had a 20 gallon tank that was all full, but I didn't know that, and so I thought I was totally out of gas. It would not pump from one of the tanks. Just a little wire disconnected kept it from getting a gas from the other tank, and it was so you couldn't siphon out of there. When I tried to put my belt down into the thing, I thought there was no gas in it. So, lo and behold, I prayed, God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. All kind of church vans came by. All kind of church buses came by. All kind of little fish things came by. All kind of I Love Jesus came by. Guess who stopped? A Coors beer truck. Hello, Christians. Hello. And I thought of all those people that I had passed by when I had been in my car. And I said to him, I've got a AAA card. Would you please talk to the man up there? And he said, yes, I'll go and send back somebody. And it became longer and longer and longer, and still nobody stopped. Nobody stopped. All of a sudden, I saw a tow truck come down the other side and swing across. And the man, little ball-headed man, got out. And guess what he was? Four square. He said, I can tell your Holy Ghost filled. He said, so am I. He said, that's the reason I came out here. The Lord prompted me to come out here because I didn't have your number. And I really wasn't supposed to, if I didn't have your card number, I wasn't supposed to come out here and help you. He put the gas in the tank, and the thing got started, and we got started and got going. Hello? Filled up with gas. We're running again. Hello? We got to the next town. Fuel pump quit. Hello? Waited overnight outside of Safeway, got that fixed. Don't think that Christians are immune to having problems in their life. You better tell people that they're going to have problems, whatever, but God is bigger than any problem I have. And I never once didn't say, well, Jesus, you don't love me because I'm standing out here beside the road. I gave him, he got the thing, and we went to Shawnee, Oklahoma, and exchanged vehicles in the parking lot, and I got the little hoopy, and he got the truck and the trailer, which was a lot of fun. If you've ever pulled one across, every time a big truck comes by, they suck you underneath. Oh, Lord, it's me again, Lord, with a prayer that needs an answer. Huh? You see, God was working in my life, and I was trying to help a son that was trying to do the work of God, and several people have been filled with the Holy Ghost back there in those meetings. And so I feel like that anything we can do, that there is a force and a power in the love of God, and I believe that we ought to do it. My friend, my little granddaughter, wrote a letter, and she was writing on it about her teacher, and she says, teaching A plus, loving A plus, and she got it off a card she got for me that was hugging A plus, and was loving A plus, and all the different stuff was A plus all the way down the card on the inside, and she says, Grandpa, you'll always be A plus with me. Have you ever thought what a wonderful church this church would be if everyone followed the admonition, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, by your love one to another? I've laid in a hospital with my head under the pillow and cried. I've watched while we left great men in our movement die without one friend going to see them. We have very little time for people that are afflicted. We don't have time for other people's adversity. My friend, I think that we ought to take time to find out what's going on. Anytime one of the missionaries die or somebody dies, our church sends the widow a check. She's cut off from all other funds. Anytime somebody dies, we try to reach some person that can help them. We've had convalescent and retirement services going ever since we began there. Not that we'll ever get anything, but a lady stood up and said God healed her from emphysema and brought her out. And just that ministry, friend of mine, we've had several people saved out of retirement homes and rest homes. Not because they're able to put any money in the church, but because we owe them a message from Almighty God. We've got to show them we love them. If you're too good to go through the leper colony to save souls, then you're too good, because Jesus went through it for you. We're equipping people to manifest the Holy Spirit. They've got ministries. I don't think I've gone to a retirement home unless someone called me for something. But let's let people realize they're going to suffer. Coming back, I stopped in Tucson. I'd driven all night from Odessa. 4 o'clock in the morning, or six, whatever, two time zones. Everybody else falls downstairs, but I fell upstairs. I was carrying the suitcases up the stairs. There was water on the stairs, and I slipped and fell and broke my stump. I've been ministering under pain. They can't put a splint on it. They can't put it in a cast. Couldn't do anything. All they could do when I went down there, says, let me feel it. I said, don't you touch it. Doctors always want to feel. Amen. You see, I will greet this day with love in my heart. To love others is to be born of God, according to the Bible. The unseen power of God can open the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. The little boy that was going across town, and he was passing a church, and the minister went out and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going over to Mr. Moody's church. I said, well, you're passing a lot of churches on the way over. He says, they really know how to love a boy over Mr. Moody's church. They really know how to love a boy. Do you know how to love boys? They soon become men. Do you know how to love the children? Do you know how to love people? I have difficulty with that. I have a difficult personality. You that have been around here for 30 years know that. But God still loves me. The Bible said, oh, no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We love him because he first loved us. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's modeling. Love God supremely. Love brethren constantly. Love enemies winsomely, trying by your love to win them. Paul writing the church at Corinth, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Oh yes, I'd like to have all the gifts manifest in our church, but I'd rather have love in our church than anything else. That's right. Amen. Because we are fashioned and shaped by the things we love. There's no greater force in the world today than the compelling force of love, as mentioned by Jesus. And I looked in a church growth manual, and it said the churches that are growing by leaps and bounds have people believing that they are loved there. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. But God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I didn't deserve what Jesus did, but I want to greet this day with love in my heart, because the unseen power of love, let me master this art. I will make love my greatest weapon. My love will melt all hearts like the sun melts clay. Since I am born again, I am born with God's love flowing in my heart. Would you say, since I am born again? I am born with God's love flowing in my heart. I will greet each day with love in my heart. I will laud my enemies and they will become my friends. I will encourage my friends and they'll become my brothers. I will look for reasons to applaud. Never will I look for an excuse to gossip. When tempted to criticize, I will bite my tongue. When I am moved to praise, I will shout it from the housetops. I want to tell you something about praise, friend. I have an assistant that we restored and helped him be restored. And the other night, there was a door that got broken at the church. He left a meeting where he was helping people and encouraging and blessing people, and went to the church and worked till 1 o'clock in the morning to fix the door, because he knew it needed fixed, and he knew if he didn't fix it, I would. And he didn't want me out there fixing it. He knew I was hurting. And I got up Sunday and said, this man did thus and so. He did it for God. Hallelujah. God has given birds and the wind and the sea and all nature a voice of praise for their Creator. Cannot I speak the same to His children? Friend of mine, the other day somebody said, why are you doing all this? Because I'm your friend and because I love you. I know what it means to go out of the way to help people, to give offerings. I've given offerings. I've preached preachers that have never looked back, that have never remembered. I've preached people and they've gone on their way rejoicing. And that was what I was supposed to do. I've tried to share our church with multiplied young ministers and with everybody that I could coming through. And we don't just give them some little offering. We try to make offerings for evangelists worthwhile so that they can at least make a decent ends meet. And we try to help missionaries at least $250 a service. And sometimes even after they've got $250, if their wife's there, maybe we'll give them a suitcase and some other things because she's there as a gift to her. We try to be loving and giving, and I'm not trying to parade our church before you. I'm just saying what needs to be done, and if you'll do it, God will bless it. You can be selfish and dry up on a stem and have nothing and end up, some people go into a place, they start preaching till there's no people left, and then they leave. Other people can go to a place and preach, pioneer the work there, not say anything about pioneering the work there, as if that was some big thing. Everybody ought to pioneer work sometime. I heard one sure. I will love the sun, for it warms my bones. I will love the rain, for it cleanses my spirit. I will love the light, for it shows me the way. I will love the darkness, for it shows me the stars. I will welcome happiness, for it enlarges my heart. I will endure sadness, for it opens my soul. I will acknowledge rewards, for they are my due. I will welcome obstacles, for they are my challenge. And I was just talking to a young man the other day, and I said, what do you remember about the church? He said, brother, when they were out there putting the roof on the church, you was taking two bundles of shingles up that ladder. I don't do that anymore. But I want you to know that there isn't anything around that church I won't do but wheel a wheelbarrow. And the only reason I won't wheel a wheelbarrow, because it's pretty difficult to be able to balance a wheelbarrow with one handle. We've had a lot of obstacles. We've had obstacles of brethren. We've had obstacles of false friends. We've had all kind of obstacles in the ministry. I could have given up a long time ago. I've been shown love by a few people. If it wasn't for Winifred Black and Brother Cagle that's sitting right here in your midst, I wouldn't even be in this organization. But they prayed with me when I needed prayed for. And they helped me when I needed help. And they loved me when I needed love. When I was in the darkness of despair, they came to me and helped me and encouraged me.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord.
Friends, we owe it to one another. We're brethren.
That's true.
How will I act? I will love all manner of men, for each have qualities to be admired, though they be hidden. With love, I will tear down the walls of suspicion and hate, and will build around their hearts in the place when I build bridges that my love may enter their souls. And that's what I want to be able to do in the missions and everything else that I do. We have a son-in-law, and we're trying to help him. And the other day, he needed chairs, and so we weren't there, and so we had somebody get up and make a plea for chairs. And so they did, and we've been trying to help him every month, and we're going to continue to. But I'm just trying to tell you that we are interested in the work of God going forward.
Praise the Lord.
I will love the ambitious, for they inspire me. I love those go-getters. I'm not one myself. I'm kind of lazy. Tell the truth, but I do try to exemplify what the Lord wants me to do and lead the church in all those areas that I want them led in. I try to be a good teacher. I give lesson outlines every time I teach. I want people to be into the Word. At least if they make a paper airplane out of it, they've got something out of the service. I will love the failures, for they can teach me. I will love kings, for they're human. I will love the meek, for they're divine. I will love the rich, for they're lonely. I will love the poor, for there's so many. I will love the young, for the faith they hold. I will love the old, for the wisdom they share. I will love the beautiful, for their eyes of sadness. I will love the ugly, for their souls of peace. I will greet this day with love in my heart.
Amen.
How will I react to the actions of others? With love. Just as love is my weapon to open their hearts, love is my shield to repulse the arrows of hate and spears of anger. Adversity and discouragement will beat on my shield and become as soft as rain. It will sustain me when I am alone. It will uplift me in moments of despair. It will calm me in times of exaltation. It will become stronger as I use it day by day. Because, friend, I believe that people are going to have adversity if they're going to live for God. You're going to have to go through something. I don't know what it is, but Jesus is able to take you through because He loves you.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
will love all mankind. From this moment, all hate will be let from my veins. I'll have no time to hate, only time to love. If I have no other qualities, I can succeed with love alone. Without it, I will fail, though I possess the knowledge and skills of the world. I want to be like Jesus. And if I want to be like Jesus, then I'm going to have to manifest the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, that is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Emmett Fox wrote, and we're standing together as I close. Would everyone say there is no difficulty that enough love will not conquer? No disease that enough love will not heal? No door that enough love will not open? No gulf that enough love will not bridge? No wall that enough love will not throw down? No sin that enough love will not redeem? It makes no difference how deeply seated may be the trouble, how hopeless the outlook, how muddled the tangle, how great the mistake. A sufficient realization of love will dissolve it all. If only I could love enough, I would be the happiest and the most powerful being in the world. And this is the 11th commandment. And this is what Jesus exemplified. And this is what Jesus told by His disciples. All men would know them if they had love one to another. I bought stucco for outsides of churches that were not home mission churches. I've given offerings at conferences of people that hitchhiked to get there. I've taken money to conferences and just as they shook someone's hand or put it in their pocket. I've several times when Brother Leo Upton is now gone to his reward, that great man of God, when he needed a place to stay during conference, our church purchased the motel for all of his stay. And I took him out to eat every service. I'm not just trying to tell you that so that you can see another side of WD. But I'm just telling you, friend, it's about time the church started to practice what we preach.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Oh, that love that be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We worship the living God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, let that be in our hearts, deep in our spirit, to be true love.